We're in a series titled Sowing Seeds Today for Tomorrow's Harvest. And you and I have an amazing opportunity every day of our life. You know what it is? We sow seeds into other people's lives. I looked at the weather forecast on the weather bug. Monday is calling for 70% chance of snow. And if it's somewhat accurate, we can expect snow from that weather pattern. Do you realize every person here carries a weather pattern with them? When you walk into a room, you have weather you're bringing. And you don't even have to say a word. It just comes with the person. And the positive side of that is this. When we walk into a room, we can sow seeds by not even saying a word. You know how? It's the weather we carry with us. And so we found that seeds, and we've talked about that, seeds are something capable of growing, expanding, or developing into another of its kind. Got this bowl of seeds up here, and they're very small, but when they are sowed into a fertile ground, they have the potential for growth. You see, your life, in many different areas, if you think of it as a seed sowing experience, what you're doing every day matters. You know why? You're planting certain types of seeds. Now, we're in a five-part series. We've covered one type of seed. It's called praying. Every time you and I pray, we are dropping seeds of power into other people's lives, believing God will answer them. A second way is giving. Every time we give some of our stuff or money, we are planting seeds. And we talked about how God can multiply that seed when we trust Him. Well, today we're talking about this thing called encouraging. That's our key word for the day. I want to talk about how you and I have the power of encouraging every person in our life, every time we interact with them, if we think of it as a way to plant seeds into their life. Now, three truths about seed sowing and reaping. It's in your notes. Everybody is a seed sower. Everybody here, we all carry it with us. We may not think of it that way, but we're all seed sowers. Number two, we reap what we sow. A person who is always sowing kindness will reap kindness back. A person who is disrespectful over time in their relationships will reap that coming back. Thirdly, we reap in proportion to what we sow. In other words, if you sow a whole bunch in a certain area, you're going to reap that back. It's a principle of seed sowing and reaping. Here's two pictures we said represent two lives. For some, they have a parched future. It's dry, it's crusty, and the reason is there's not been attention given to sowing seeds into something that can bring a return. On the other hand, here's a picture of a harvest. You see, if you and I sow the right kinds of seeds with intentionality, the Bible says we reap what we sow, and we will have a harvest come back to us in the future. So today is part three, and the key word is encouraging. I want to talk about a fellow by the name of Joseph. And there's a Joseph in the Old Testament who was sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites at age 17 till age 30. He bounced around. God elevated him to be the number two person in Egypt. Amazing story. But that's not the Joseph I want to talk about. There's another Joseph in the New Testament who was married to Mary, and this Joseph was the stepfather of Jesus, and it's the Mary and Joseph story. Not talking about that one either. I'm talking about the Joseph in Acts chapter 4 that maybe we don't even think about or realize who he is. Verse 36, here's what it says. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. A guy starts out with the name Joseph, and because of the weather that he carried with him, Wherever he went, he got a new name. Call it a nickname or call it just a new label. And they called him Barnabas. And it means son of encouragement. In other words, this Joseph was the kind of guy that encouraged people wherever he went. It's just who he was. And they saw this demonstrated in his life. He sowed seeds into other people's life on such a regular basis, in a positive way, in an affirmative way. And they gave him the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So in your notes, I want you to look at what a definition of encourage might be. And the Greek word is paraklesis. It's in your notes. But here's how I want to define the word encourage. It means a personal word or deed to comfort, exhort, spur on, or uplift. A person like Barnabas had the intentionality of life that wherever he went, whatever he did, whatever seeds he sowed, it was a personal word or deed to comfort, exhort, spur on, or uplift. He made his life count by sowing seeds of encouragement into people's lives around him. So here's what I want to do today. I want to look at his life. And we're going to lift out four things he did that he became known as Barnabas, and this is the reason why. And I want you to know all four of these things are within reach of every person here today. If you and I get a hold of them and we intentionally and mentally and just commit to saying, I want to be a Barnabas in life, can I tell you, this is for everybody. Because here on Valentine's Day, you think of love and all the ways we can encourage our family, a husband, wife, children. This is a practical way to demonstrate, to live out, to play out all the things that God has put in us that we can bless other people with. So four things of how Barnabas sowed seeds of encouragement through his life. Number one. The first thing he did it by being a generous giver. Barnabas got the nickname of Barnabas because he was a generous giver. Read with me Acts 4, 36 and 7 in your notes. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. In the early church, when things really started to happen and people came to faith and lives were transformed, there were many needs among the church family. And so Barnabas, being a person who wants to encourage others, it says he must have owned a field of some kind. And he sold it, and he brought the money, and he gave it to the apostles and said, here, use it to help other people. You see, when you and I are generous giver, when we have that lens in life, and we are blessed in this church that there are many people in this category who say, okay, I have the kingdom of God in mind, and I want to push it forward with what God has blessed me with. And so Barnabas did that. He was a generous giver to help others. I've got a picture of a little girl by the name of Chelsea Fair. She's 10 years old. This was a picture from 2020. And I want to tell you about her. She's from Danbury, Connecticut. And when she was 7, she asked her parents if they would start a charity, a nonprofit for her. And they didn't, but she got to be 10 and she kept asking, and they finally did. It's called Chelsea's Charity. She's 10 years old. And here's what she wanted to do. With the pandemic, she said there's a lot of kids out there that aren't getting support and encouragement. And so she got a hold of the idea that if she could get together art supplies, she could ship them to kids in homeless shelters, foster homes, or schools. And as of May of 2020, last year, she had sent out about 1,500 boxes of art supplies to kids in different places in need. Now, it's a simple concept, but you know what? She has a bit of Barnabas in her. She's 10 years old, and she has a heart to help other people. You see, anybody at any age can be a Barnabas. Here's the second picture in which just some of the supplies. Apparently, they set up an Amazon wish list, and people have donated. And this was 1,500 boxes as of May of last year, so I'm sure it's a whole lot more now. But here's the point. Anybody can be a Barnabas at any age. And we just say, God, how can you use me to sow seeds into other people's lives that can make a difference? So number one, Barnabas was a generous giver. Number two, he was a faithful friend. Barnabas got to be Barnabas because he was a faithful friend. Look with me in Acts 9, 26 and 27. I'm going to read this text for you. When he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, that was his earlier name, on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Here's what happened. Saul was a very mean-spirited religious guy, and he actually approved of having people put to death. He was a mean guy. And he has an encounter with Jesus himself, and his heart was changed, and he became a true follower, and he changed his ways. But the people didn't believe him or want to accept him because of what he had done in his past. So Saul or Paul comes to the disciples, and they don't want anything to do with him. I mean, we're kind of like that too. Somebody shows up and we say, oh, we know a little bit about their past, and we have to be careful and cautious, but the disciples resisted accepting him. So here's what happened. Barnabas, a friend, went to bat for Saul. And he brought him to the disciples, and he tried to persuade them that he was the real deal. Something had changed within him. Here's what Barnabas did. He was an advocate for the underdog. There's times in life when God will have us step up to go after the underdog. And he was a faithful friend to Paul, and through the years they did ministry together. And I think he won the disciples over time that Paul or Saul was an okay guy because of the change in his life. Here's the point. When you and I are faithful friends to somebody else, we'll call them the underdog. You know what an underdog is? It's a competitor that has little chance of winning a fight or a contest. There are underdogs all over the place that people have given up on. Jesus always fought for the underdog. The person that didn't have much of a chance. We have to be wise in going about this. But the point is, you and I can be a Barnabas. We sow seeds of support into people's lives that maybe other people have given up on. Number three, the third way that Barnabas sowed seeds into people's lives. And let me back up here. I've got a verse here. I skipped over it. It says, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You see, it's often outside of our own blood family that God may have us step up and be a Barnabas too, just as a friend, and we can help them along their journey. Okay, number three. The third way that Barnabas sowed seeds of encouragement is by being wise with the words he spoke. In other words, the third weapon or tool of how he sowed seeds was the words that came out of his mouth. I want you to read with me Acts 11, 22 to 24 in your notes. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Here's what he did. And this one is probably one of the biggest. Barnabas encouraged other people with the words that came out of his mouth. I've got six slides I want to walk through, and it either demonstrates or paints a picture of the power of words. Here's the first one. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want you to know that the words that you and I speak today can do one of two things. It can either breathe life into people, or it can tear them down or destroy or crush their spirit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Here's what it's saying. Have a filter of what comes out of the mouth. I mean, we have to be careful and calculated. Barnabas had somehow figured out this out. And whatever he said, it was said in such a way to build other people up. Let's go to the next picture. Words are containers for power. Joyce Meyer talks about this and said, every word that comes out is a container filled with an explosive sense of power, either to the good or to the bad. Here's a third picture. Really don't have to say much on this one. I mean, we've all done this. They're like bullets coming out of our mouth, the words that we speak, and they can be very hurtful and destructive. How about this one? I mean, we've all been there. We all have done that. I've done that. I've made the mistake on the phone. I mean, it's the words or what I say that what I speak. Let's go to the next one. Words can hurt or heal. What did yours do today? I want you to think of yourself as a doctor. And the words that come out of your mouth can be healing words to every person. And we just have to be careful, and it's intentional and on purpose. And Barnabas encouraged the people there in that church to remain true to the Lord. His heart was to lift people up and help people heal. And finally, here's the last one. I have the authority to speak life or death into my circumstances. I speak life. Now here's the true insight to Barnabas' life. Wherever he went, he was careful of how he said what he said. And you know what he did? He spoke life into people's lives and circumstances. Not only do we need to do that for ourselves, we need to speak life about our own self. But when he interacted with somebody else, he had a sense of authority to build them up, to somehow nurture them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. And all of a sudden, his name changed from Joseph to Barnabas because he did that on a regular basis. Speak with authority words of life into husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, into children. Just make it a practice of speaking words that will build people up. Well, finally, number four, the fourth way he sowed seeds of encouragement is an interesting one, but it's this. He was willing to forgive. He sowed seeds into other people's lives by his willingness to forgive. Let me give you the story here, the backdrop. Paul and Barnabas wanted to go on a missionary journey. And they said, well, let's take a guy by the name of Mark. Now, Mark, I found out, was a nephew to Barnabas, but Mark had gone on a previous trip and he bailed out. He flunked. He dropped out. Paul, kind of a one of these really rigid, strong personalities, said, I don't want him to go again. He failed us once. What if he fails us again? Barnabas, on the other hand, went to fight for the underdog. And he said, no, I want Mark to go. Well, here's what happened. Paul and Barnabas had two different opinions and viewpoints, and they ended up splitting. They had a disagreement, and God blessed it going forward. Barnabas took Mark, and Paul chose Silas, and they went on two journeys instead of one. But read with me the text in your notes. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the world. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Here's a verse that characterizes Barnabas. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Here's what Barnabas did. He forgave Mark. Paul, on the other hand, says, I'm not ready to let him be a part of this next journey. And so there was this disagreement. But there again, Barnabas went to bat for the underdog, gave him another chance, and they had a blessed and fruitful future. Mark became a real permanent, sturdy, dependable person going forward. But it was because of Barnabas' support and his willingness to forgive and give him a second chance. So four ways. Four simple ways that Barnabas sowed seeds. Number one, he was a generous giver. Number two, a faithful friend supporting the underdog. Number three, he was wise with the words he spoke. Number four, he was willing to forgive and give people another chance. I have three slides as we conclude. Here's the first one. Craig Groeschel says, everyone is facing a battle you know nothing about. Every person you meet this week, or even the remainder of this day, they're facing a battle on the inside that you and I know nothing about. Just keep that in mind in trying to be a Barnabas to their life. Number two, here's the other slide. Be an encourager. The world has enough critics already. There's something refreshing when you're around an encourager. You know why? They have good weather in their life. They bring something with them that just shows up wherever they go. And you're influenced by the sunshine of the weather that they bring. Be an encourager this week. The world already has enough critics. And here's the last one. We rise by lifting others. If you and I make it a goal, a commitment, a sense of mission in life, that whenever we lift other people up, we rise ourselves. Barnabas was that kind of a guy. How did he do it? By encouraging, just being an encourager. And this is within reach of every person here. We just want to lift other people up. And when we do that, we ourselves rise as well. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we just offer ourselves to you this morning. Our lives, everything we have. Our material things, the friends. We offer the words that come out of our mouth. We offer the willingness to forgive, to help people. And I just pray that this week we'll bump into somebody and we do not know the battle they are facing on the inside. But I pray you'll prepare each of our hearts today in this moment for that encounter, for that transaction, for that time of connecting with a person that maybe we haven't seen in a long time, or somebody that's a new friend, whatever it is, there will be a Barnabas to them. And we will sow into their life something called hope, something called a better future, something called believing that tomorrow can be better. And so I pray you'll take each of us today. We give ourselves to you. And we just pray for the favor of God to be upon us, that you will use us this week, starting with our own families. And then the next circle of our friends or people we work with. And we will just be an encourager in the midst of a broken world. Thank you, Lord, for that great privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.